How long does it take to discover a new material? It took Alexander Fleming 9 years from observing mold to isolating penicillin. This week, we learned about an AI platform from Google DeepMind that predicted the existence of hundreds of thousands of new stable materials, accelerating discovery by an estimated 800 years. This isn't just about data anymore. The age of AI-driven physical discovery is here. And for Western industry, the race is on. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing for professionals in manufacturing, trading, and technology. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift. Artificial intelligence is breaking out of the digital world and into the physical lab, revolutionizing how we invent, test, and source the fundamental materials that build our world. We'll look at the new generation of AI chips making this possible, how self-driving labs are compressing years of R&D into weeks, and what this means for the resilience of US and European supply chains. This is about the very real future of manufacturing.
It's a fundamental change in the R&D paradigm, moving from human-led trial and error to high-throughput, autonomous discovery.
Troy, let's start with the hardware powering this revolution. IBM just announced a new semiconductor technology. What is a sub-1-nanometer nanostack chip?
It's a research device that represents the next frontier in shrinking transistors. Instead of just making components smaller on the flat surface, which is hitting physical limits, IBM is using what they call sequential 3D integration. They are literally stacking transistor structures vertically. This dramatically increases transistor density.
So what's the payoff? Why does stacking matter to someone who isn't a chip designer?
It offers a choice. Either a 50% performance boost or a 70% reduction in energy consumption compared to the previous 2-nanometer generation. For the massive data centers training these new scientific AI models, a 70% energy cut is a colossal strategic and financial advantage. This technology is designed specifically to tackle the memory and computational bottlenecks of advanced AI.
How does this specifically affect US and European manufacturers?
For the semiconductor ecosystem, companies like ASML, Zeiss, or Applied Materials, this sets a new technology roadmap. For everyone else, from automotive to aerospace, it means the AI tools for design, simulation, and factory automation are about to get significantly more powerful and more energy efficient, lowering the total cost of ownership for deploying AI at scale.
And for Western trading companies that distribute electronic components?
They should recognize this as the starting gun for the next generation of high-value AI hardware. The competition between IBM, NVIDIA, Intel, and TSMC in 3D integration will be fierce. Sourcing and securing allocations of these future chips will be a key differentiator for distributors building high-performance computing solutions.
So, what's the actionable insight here?
Executives should begin modeling the operational cost benefits of this next-generation hardware. If you're planning a major AI rollout or data center upgrade, the potential 70...
Okay, from the hardware to what it enables, you flagged a cluster of developments that suggest AI is becoming a material scientist in its own right, especially in sustainable technology. What's happening?
We're seeing a profound shift. Take a recent paper from June 25th on battery materials. Researchers are using unsupervised machine learning to discover novel lithium-based compounds. Critically, their statistical framework avoids a problem called dimensionality reduction.
Translate dimensionality reduction for us. What does that mean in business terms?
Imagine trying to understand a complex machine by only looking at its two-dimensional blueprint. You lose essential information about how parts interact in 3D space. That information loss has limited previous AI models. This new approach keeps the full, high-dimensional picture, allowing the AI to identify truly novel candidates, not just variations of what we already know.
And this isn't just for batteries.
Correct. The same principles are being applied to design sustainable catalysts. Research highlighted by MDPI on July 2nd shows AI is dramatically accelerating the discovery of catalysts for CO2 conversion, turning emissions into valuable chemicals, and for breaking down and upcycling waste polymers.
So what does this mean for a European chemical giant or a US automotive manufacturer?
For manufacturers, this is a race for intellectual property. An automaker that secures a patent on a superior, cheaper battery chemistry discovered by AI gains a massive competitive edge. A chemical company like BASF or Dow that develops a proprietary catalyst to turn plastic waste into a premium product opens up an entirely new sustainable revenue stream. This is both a huge opportunity and a direct threat from new AI-native competitors.
So what should trading companies and distributors be watching?
They need to be scouting for the emergence of these new materials. The inputs required for a novel battery chemistry or a new polymer might be completely different from today's supply chain. Distributors who can identify and source these new precursor materials early will capture the market. It's about mapping the supply chain for tomorrow's products.
What's the actionable advice for executives?
Your R&D function must have a materials informatics capability. The lab is becoming a data set and an algorithm. You need to either build or partner with teams that can leverage these AI discovery platforms. Your next billion-dollar product might be sitting in a database, waiting for the right algorithm to find it.
This sounds like it's evolving into something even bigger. The term you used in your brief was self-driving labs. Is that just a buzzword, or are we talking about fully automated science?
It's very real, and it's being deployed now. The prime example is the A-Lab at the U.S. Department of Energy's Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. It's a closed-loop autonomous system. An AI model designs a new inorganic material and predicts its properties. A robot then autonomously synthesizes that material. It's tested and characterized automatically. And the results, both successes and failures, are fed back to the AI, which uses the new data to design the next experiment. It runs 24/7 without human intervention.
So this isn't just a simulation. A robot is physically making and breaking things based on an AI's instructions.
Precisely. And this is not an isolated project. The Department of Energy is connecting over a dozen of these self-driving labs at institutions like Oak Ridge National Laboratory into a single research network. They are applying this to everything from clean energy materials to creating optimized microbes for bioproduction.
How does this impact, say, a German machine tool company or a U.S. aerospace manufacturer?
It radically compresses R&D cycles. An aerospace company that needs a new high-temperature alloy could use a self-driving lab to synthesize and test 1,000 different compositions in a month, a process that would have taken 5 years with human researchers. This creates an almost insurmountable speed to market advantage.
And for companies that supply the manufacturing and research sectors?
This creates an entirely new market for integrated lab automation. We're talking about robotics, high-precision sensors, fluid handling systems, and the AI software platforms that orchestrate them all. Distributors of lab equipment who cannot offer a cohesive, automated solution will be left behind.
The actionable takeaway seems profound.
Executives need to reframe their perspective on R&D. It's no longer just a laboratory. It's a high-throughput data factory. The first step is to identify one key R&D bottleneck, like qualifying a new coating or finding a stronger polymer, and fund a pilot project to build a small-scale, autonomous workflow to solve it.
This is incredible for innovation, Troy. But let's bring it back to today's problems. How does this help a COO worried about their single-source supplier of a critical chemical?
That is the most immediate commercial application. The same AI principles are now being used to build supply chain resilience. A company called Citrine Informatics, for example, uses its AI platform to help specialty chemical manufacturers rapidly screen for alternative raw materials.
So if a specific polymer additive from a single factory in Asia becomes unavailable due to a trade dispute, this is a tool to find a replacement?
Exactly. But instead of a team of chemists spending 6 months in a lab testing alternatives, the AI can analyze vast materials data and, in hours, generate a short list of the most promising replacement candidates that will have a minimal impact on the final product's performance. More importantly, it can do this proactively.
So it identifies the weakest links in your product formula before they break?
Yes. The AI can identify the most critical ingredients, those with the biggest performance impact and the highest supply risk, and help companies pre-qualify alternatives from different suppliers or regions. It turns a reactive crisis into a proactive risk management strategy.
For U.S. and European manufacturers, the implication is obvious: de-risking.
It's about creating operational resilience. It gives them the agility to reformulate products on the fly in response to geopolitical shocks, tariffs, or shipping disruptions. This is a crucial tool for onshoring or nearshoring initiatives, as it can help find local materials to substitute for foreign ones.
And what should trading companies and distributors take from this?
This is both a threat and a major opportunity. Your customer can now use AI to find an alternative to the one specialty chemical you supply. The strategic response is to become the source of the solution. Use these tools to offer your customers a portfolio of pre-qualified alternatives with performance data to back them up. You shift from being a component supplier to a resilience partner.
So the final actionable insight for our listeners.
Executives must treat their bill of materials not as a static list, but as a dynamic data problem. They need to use AI to map their formulation vulnerabilities and create a living database of pre-qualified alternative materials and suppliers. Don't wait for the crisis to happen.
A lot to absorb this week, Troy. Let's distill it down. What are the three most important strategic takeaways for executives listening today?
First, the hardware is ready. New chip architectures like IBM's NanoStack mean the immense computational power needed for AI and material science is becoming more accessible and energy efficient, enabling this revolution at industrial scale. Second, R&D is becoming autonomous. The self-driving lab is a real, government-backed paradigm. It is compressing multi-year discovery cycles into weeks, and your competitors are investing in it. And third, materials are now a data problem. From discovering a new catalyst to de-risking your supply chain, competitive advantage will now flow to the companies that can best collect, model, and act on materials data.
And what is the one action item you'd recommend based on this?
I would challenge every leadership team to identify the single most critical material in their business with a vulnerable single-source supply chain. Then, task a team to use a materials informatics platform to identify and begin qualifying three viable, geographically diverse alternatives within the next 90 days.
A clear and urgent directive. Troy, thank you for your analysis.
It was my pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. We help you separate the signal from the noise in a rapidly changing world. To ensure you never miss your weekly briefing, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Join us again next week.